Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. What a way to start off the new year, our first church service being in the house of God. Thank God for you being here. Matthew chapter 5. As we look in the Word of God this evening, we're looking in a chapter that contains 48 verses, 1,081 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible. This particular chapter at a 5.9 grade level. And God's Word is perfect from cover to cover. And we sure appreciate Him giving us His love letter from heaven. It's a guidebook for our life. But for those that reject His Son, Jesus Christ, these very words are condemnation. They're condemnation. Because they will show the person why they are not good. I've tried to reason within myself sometimes that I'm good, and I just know I'm lying to myself, so I quit doing that. I just accept what the Bible says about me, and not in the Joel Osteen kind of way either. You ever heard that dude stand up and say, "The Bible is what I says I am"? Really? You believe that? You really believe that? You don't read that book. But he's not the only one. There's 95% of all American Christians I know don't read it either. Their Bible reading went out this morning. Today's last day. You know why? They forgot yesterday. So today they say, "I just might as well give up." You know what I do with a Bible reading plan? Stick with it. So I missed 2 or 3 days. Well, tell God I'm sorry you are, and you ask Him to forgive you, and then pick it back up and get in there. Most folks know Genesis chapter 1 about like the back of their hands, as far as they get. Some folks do real good. They do good up to the Chronicles. This and begat this and got this and got this. And just remember this. For however boring you think that is, they made the book and you didn't. So there must be something to that list of begats over there. And if you get as far as the New Testament, you find two more begat lists in Matthew and Luke. They tie right back into that one. It's all in there. But see, the problem is we're not trying to win an argument about what we know about the Bible. We're trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And there are certain foods that some of you kids are forced to eat. So I don't like certain stuff, but you eat it anyway because you're made to, right? Here's what happens. Sometimes they hand them green beans over and then peas, and you look at them and say, "Ooh, that's green, that's nasty," right? And then somebody with a backbone, hopefully your daddy, says, "Your mama slaved over that for 8 hours to make that one little pot of things for you there. And you either going to eat it or I'm going to beat you." And all of a sudden, you choke that stuff down thinking, "If I ever grow up, I won't eat this." But you won't tell after that third bite, they actually are pretty good, and you wish you'd had them four now. That's the way it is with stuff in the Bible. Some stuff don't seem as good, but it's the same as John 3:16. It's the Word of God, every bit of it. Matthew chapter 5, if you look at verse number 7, we're looking at these Beatitudes over here one by one. And in verse 7, the Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Tonight, as we look into this precious book and this verse tonight, I want to preach to you on a title which you'll understand and be very familiar with. It's only work here. You ready for this? Here's the message. Mercy. Mercy. You know. I called him. I said, "I ought to get you to record that for me." And I just hold that up to the thing and let you say the title. You know what he said? Mercy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at this message on mercy. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive. We pray, God, that you'll move in this service tonight. God, as you stirred our hearts through the prayer meeting time, and Lord God, as you moved on us through the singing, how we've uplifted you tonight. God, that we'll look at this book and we'll see the Father of all mercies, which is you. We pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work in our hearts and lives and help us tonight. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight at mercy, as we get into this, we first off, and just I'm going to give you just a couple of things. We're going to go to the house before 12. You ready for this? Number one, we see the description of mercy. If you'll notice, he says this, "Blessed." And what we say blessed meant? Blessed is being satisfied over all circumstances. Somebody tried to say that the word blessed means happy. I said, "You be blessed and be sad. Depends on what you're blessed with." But blessed literally is talking about being satisfied over all your circumstances. Paul put it this way, under the inspiration of God, he said to be content no matter what state I'm in, whatever it is. And when I first got saved, I thought, well, God, you, that's a prophecy about the United States. Amen. He said, whatever state I'm in, I like it. And about a year or two later, I realized that wasn't what he's talking about, and I wasn't happy about it no more. I thought I was on to something. But state refers to where you're at and where you are, what's going on around you. And he said, blessed. He said, blessed. Every time he starts with these off, he said, blessed. No matter what's going on over here, I'm blessed. I hear a lot of people when they have a lot of money in their pocket, they talk about how blessed they are. When I got a lot of money in my pocket, we go up to the register at a restaurant, somebody says, well, you can't pay for that. I said, oh, I can. You caught me at a bad time. I got it. Ain't that how that works? So what's that? Fred Sanford Theology 101. Well, Fred told Bubba. Bubba come in and said, Fred, can I hold $20? He said, yeah, you can have $20, Bubba. You caught me at a bad time. He said, a bad time? I said, yeah, I got it on me. I feel the same way. Holy Ghost says, go ahead and buy it. And I say, well, Lord, you know, I've only got, you know, the meal's only $5. I only got $100 on me, Lord. And once I spent, you know, that first one goes out, you know. I've had the Lord just speak to my heart so quietly and in a gentle, small voice and say, would you rather me take it all at one time? No, well, Lord, I got it. Blessed, satisfied over circumstances. I had one man that told me this way. He said, if I keep my hands open before God, that way he can take and give what he wants to put in them. Yeah. He said, if I can get over what's going in, what's going out, he said, I realize that I'm blessed no matter what's there. Because God's blessing you. One missionary told me, he said, listen, there's a meat that you need to tell all your missionaries about when they go out on the mission field and when they're on deputation, especially on deputation. It's called missionary round steak. I said, sir, what is missionary round steak? He said, baloney is what that is. Amen. He said, because if you learn to live off baloney while you're out there, you'll do anything on the field, won't bother you. Because sometimes you go to the field, you get out there, and you don't know what the mystery meat is. You imagine somebody come out there and them putting a big old pot of something in front of you and it smells good. You open up, there's a big old tongue laying there. You don't know whose head it come out of. It could have come out of their mother-in-law's for all you know. And everybody's got their fork knife and it's ready. Blessed. Blessed. No matter what state you're in, no matter how good or bad you got it, you're blessed. A fellow said one time he had had his legs taken off in an accident or some kind of thing that happened in Vietnam. They said, how are you? He said, blessed. Blessed. They said, how can you say you're blessed? You come home, people called you a baby killer, threw rocks at you and spit on you, and you couldn't even get up out of that chair and run after him. He said, but I did come back. Amen. Blessed. Blessed. Fellow told me one time that the Army promised him that if he had enlisted that day, he could sign up for one of five places he wanted to go after boot camp. So he signed up for Miami. He signed up for, what's that tourist spot down in Mexico, that big one with bases down there? He signed up for that one. Signed up for Hawaii. Signed up for Rome, all the popular places. You know where they put him at? Kansas City, Kansas. So what's out there? Absolutely nothing. So what was he? Blessed. So how did he find out he was blessed? Because his buddy had signed up with him, went in, and was on that thing over in the 80s when they bombed that aircraft carrier. He didn't make it back. Blessed. Blessed. See, no matter where you're at, you got it good. You just don't realize it. Two of the best signs you had today when you got out of bed, and a lot of folks didn't have one of them, was that you opened your eyes and was still breathing.
Amen.
So what was I? Same thing you are now, blessed.
Right.
See, if you're reading the Gospels, you'll see Jesus saying a statement like this. And if you don't know what he's saying, it makes no sense. He said, if you see that mountain in front of you, and you have the faith to say that mountain, be thou removed. You ever thought about that? Faith of a grain of a mustard seed, he said. How many Christians you know have ever looked at a mountain and just, out of the way? I'll answer this for you. None. Because you're looking at the wrong hill. So what hill is he talking about? The one called drama. The one called Drama. The mountain known as Drama goes up like this, and you up here, and everything, then down here. And then you up here, and then down here. Down in the valley I go, and up to the heights I ascend, and down in the valley I go. And your life's like that. Then one day you say, you know what? Blessed.
Right.
A smooth sailing.
Amen.
On an airplane going out west one time, I looked out the window. I couldn't get to sleep. Those stupid pills I took couldn't get me to sleep, but I wasn't sick. And I looked out the window and I thought, what are they doing on the hills? We got her about West Tennessee and Arkansas, all flat. Flat as this right here. As flat as it can be. It looked like one of them drawings, you know, where you got the squares cut out with the farms and all that. I mean, how do these people live? Ain't no shadows. Sun comes up, you burn to death all day. Tornado comes, you ain't nowhere to hide. Then I thought about it. At least I ain't down there falling that way now. Blessed. Blessed. Hey, listen. Be thou removed, thou mountain of drama. Blessed. I see first off the description of mercy, because he says, blessed are the merciful. That word is the plural of the verb given there, blessed. And what it says, it shows that there's something that goes with blessed that goes as a whole lot more. And what it lets me know is in the Word of God, that the blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. I see that word full is on that mercy. The description of it goes something like this. Mercy multiplies the blessed. That's literally what that would say in the definition. If you hold your place right here, let's look over at 2 John. 2 John. See, the Word of God's too clear about stuff like this to miss it. And when we see that mercy multiplies the blessed, hey, we the blessed. You know that?
Yep.
Say, well, I ain't got all that money that such and such has. Well, you God probably can't trust you with it. That's why you ain't got it.
Right.
You'll notice right here in your Bible, your Bible says in 2 John, and then at verse 3, grace be with you. What's that word? Mercy. And peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. See, I said it wrong because it goes, mercy magnifies the blessed. The blessed is the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessed is God the Father. And the way that thing's magnified is the fact that God magnifies it through Himself. He magnified it the day you got saved. When you look down and you see the things of God and you look where you actually were in life and you see how you really are, you look back on what you came from and who, everything about you, and you realize one day by the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God through the preached Word of God that you should have been in hell a long time ago.
Amen.
In fact, God probably shouldn't have even let you been born some of the things you've done.
Right.
So, preacher, I didn't kill nobody. Well, you'd been probably less of a sinner if you would have. Because Jesus defined murder better than any of the Pharisees did. He said, if you hate somebody in your heart, you've already killed them. And I promise you hated more than the biggest serial killers killed. They told me the other day about this serial killer. And the guy was telling his thing about it. He said, you know what's so scary about serial killers? I said, what's that? He said, we don't know how many are still out there. You ever thought about that? They find a body here, a body here, and a body here. They think three different guys have done it. And one day they find that one guy did all three, and then 10 more out in some other place. Hey, listen, God magnified Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact He looked past that guy's murders, looked at your hatred of them, and saw them as murders as well. And you probably hated thousands of people. And you said, you know, God said, you know what? I will be merciful. I will. Why would God do that for you? He's the Father of mercy, why. And when He multiplies His mercy, that's why we go back and we hear, blessed are the merciful. If you look over at Jude verse 2 over there, the next couple pages over. Over at Jude. See, we see the description of mercy. Mercy multiplies the blessed, and I already said this, mercy magnifies the blessed. And in saying this, let me say this. In Jude verse 2, the Bible says this. Now he's writing to the people there. He says, mercy unto you. Mercy unto you. And peace and love be multiplied. So how does multiplication work? I don't know. You put two numbers together and they come up with more than what started with, I reckon. So what does God do? He takes mercy, just a little bit of mercy, and multiplies it. He takes peace and multiplies it. He takes love and multiplies it. And mercy magnifies the blessed, because the blessed, he said, blessed are the merciful. Then it's full of mercy. How'd they get full of mercy? Can I show you something? They got full of the Holy Ghost somewhere. That's how you get full of mercy. Because the merciful, those that are full of mercy, they had to get that from God. That don't come from human beings.
Right.
So how do you know? Because we out for our better interest. You know, we okay helping you out as long as it don't cost us nothing type thing. That's the way general human beings are. Why are we like that? Well, because we don't want Abel to get ahead of us. Ain't that right, Cain? I worked for this. I paid for this. And you going to take his free one? Huh? I don't like that. So what happens? The merciful showed up. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, you know how they got out of it? The merciful one showed up. If you look over here, look at James chapter 2. Take a left. Where are you at? James chapter 2. James chapter 2. If you look down, verse 13 says, for he shall have judgment without mercy. Uh-oh. That has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Do you see that statement right there? He said, he shall have judgment without mercy. There's coming a day when folks that are not with the Lord, that have rejected him, he's going to come to them and show them that because you rejected the merciful one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed indeed, one day you'll face God himself without mercy. What a sad way to go out. Look over at Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Mercy magnifies the blessed. If you see mercy, if you see somebody showing somebody mercy, what you've just saw is a picture of Christ showing you mercy. Romans chapter 12, down at verse 8. He's talking about spiritual gifts. And I hear these people get on these TV shows, these TV preaching shows, and I quit watching them about 10 years ago because they're like cookie cutters. They're all the same. They're like half the preachers around here. If one of them says it, they all going to say it. It depends on which dog's wagging the tail. How the tail's going to wag. But he says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 7, and he's talking about spiritual gifts now, or ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy. See that? With cheerfulness. When people show mercy, it shouldn't be a thing, well, God's showing you mercy, so I'm going to too, and you're looking at him like this while you're saying it. Did he say giveth mercy? That's what he said. Showeth mercy. Giveth the thing. You're giving mercy and showing mercy. Did you ever hear that God blesses the cheerful giver? That has more to do with mercy than money, probably, but he said it about money. Boy, ain't that good stuff. Mercy's magnified the blessed, and it's multiplied the blessed. Did you see that thing, or ministry, let him wait on ministering? I saw something reading the Bible today that just about took my head clean off my shoulders. God said to Noah to come into the ark. Later, he tells him to go out of the ark. You know what? I know y'all probably seen this. I didn't. But do you know that before you can ever go out of something, you got to go into it? Now, wait a minute. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of every creature. Did he say that? You know what he said before that? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. So you got to enter there before you be sent out. I think what our problem is, we're sending too many out and none of them's coming in. What are they doing? Oh, well, I'm called to preach. Well, let's ship you off to Bible college. You've been saved but 2 weeks. Let's ship you right on off to Bible college 3 states over. We don't know what they're doing over there. Or we'll send you over to my alma mater. All to be my... And we're going to go over and find out after 3 years you've been there, you've been correcting the Bible teaching classroom the whole time, telling you that the Greek text says and the King James Bible's wrong? So what is that? That's an objective opinion. But they're using the wrong object to get their objective. See, they approach this book in doubt. They approach it now. A famous Bible college, which is located less than an hour from here, down I-85, had a student in there. Me and my wife heard him tell this. He said that the guy got up in Bible class and said, he never get a degree not in preaching, but in something else. They have to take one Bible class at this college. He said the guy got up, held up a Bible, said, there's nothing more worse in this world than the King James Version Bible. And he started reading notes out of it and saying why it's wrong. So this is preposterous, he said. Half them kids didn't even know what he was talking about. They knew preposterous, but they didn't know what else he was talking about. You know why they didn't know? Because their King James Bible wasn't like his. Listen to this. He had a Scofield reference Bible, but the 1967 New Scofield, that's not a King James text, and was reading things in it and pulling stuff out of the margin of the notes where there might be something wrong that he didn't agree with, and he claimed that as a Bible text and started running with it. The next part of this story I relate to you, but I don't recommend to you. He said, wait a minute, you're not telling that. That's not in the Bible. So they took him to the dean. And the dean told him, said, listen, you can't be causing disruption in the classroom like that. He said, but he lied in a Bible class. Absolutely outright lied. He said, we're going to kick you out of school for that. But fortunately for him, the guy that was over the school had preached for his daddy for 20 years. He said, I don't see the president of school. He said, you just don't go see the president of school. He said, I am. I don't see him. We're going to talk about this. So they called the president of school, and he said, okay, I'll come see him. He knew he was. He come in. They had a little small reunion. How you doing, man? I ain't seen you in about 2 years. You know, everything going okay? Yeah, I came to college. I was in class, and the teacher was using the study Bible notes to correct the Bible with. He said, oh, well, that's unfortunate. I didn't know any people. Oh, well, that's unfortunate. And they got to looking at it, and the student was right, and the teacher was just in there, you know, trying to show he is smarter than God. If I knew that guy's name, I would tell you that, but I don't know who his name is. These guys are so pompous, they get up here and try to correct God's book like they somebody. You know so much, if you're so holy and close to God, tell me, heal your eyes, where you have to wear them old thick eyeglasses while you're afraid of lying through them false teeth you got.
Come on.
Amen and amen and amen. And the boy said, he said, what are we going to do? He said, I'm going to make him apologize to you. He said he was wrong. But wait for it. They put him in a room privately, and he apologized privately. He didn't take that thing back in front of the other 30 students he said it in front of. Ministry, waiteth on ministry, come before you go. So the thing about sending people out to Bible college, that may not be a good thing for preacher boys anymore.
Yeah.
It may be better that the they get taught by the pastor before they ever go to school.
Yeah.
And here's a strange one for you. When you get to looking at all that, they're going to throw that kid out of school over a guy lying to him. He learned about Mr. Merciful over here, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's full of mercy. But you keep correcting that book, I promise you this, Revelation 22 says he's never been born again. God's already took that place, took his fine pen, and cut that name out of the place where your name could have written in the book of life because you tampered with his book. That's what the book says. And we get over here to the merciful. Listen to me, friend. Listen. What'd he say? He that showeth mercy. He that showeth mercy. Hey, listen, I'd rather be a guy that showed mercy than the guy that tried to show a preacher how to correct the Bible any day of the week. So preacher, them people's crazy. They worse than that. They doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
I can't figure that stuff out. It blows my mind. But listen to this. We see the description of mercy. Blessed are the merciful. And then we see the demonstration. Number two, the demonstration of mercy. Because he says, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, to obtain is something that's is received for common use. And it establishes the thing that's got. Have y'all watched a football game in your life? I played football in junior high, and I remember the first time I ever got to go on the field, I got out there, the guy said, the quarterback said, down, we all got down, the thing. He said, down, put your mouthpiece in, set, put your mouthpiece in, hike, and the flag come out just like that. I was the dummy that didn't have a mouthpiece in.
Uh-oh.
I was so excited to go out there, I forgot all about it. They make you wear those for a reason. Had I known one day I'd have false teeth, I'd have acted like I had it in the whole time. I'd have said, you're just going to stream on, you're slipping there, you know. But there's a penalty for stuff, and there's a reason why, usually. I watched the NFL game the other day, and I found out something. These guys make millions of dollars and don't know how to button a chin strap.
Yeah.
Listen. If you are so stupid you can't button a chin strap, and you're going to let a 300-pound man running 55 miles an hour come towards you, I don't want to hear about, we need to sue him for concussions. Please. You know what they call that rule that you've got to keep your helmet on to get on the sideline? Do you know there's a rule about that now? It's called the Emmett Smith rule. Emmett Smith used to take his helmet off and go, yeah, touchdown. You've seen pictures. NFL said, you can't do that anymore. Because you got 300-pound men on your team running around, so yeah! Wouldn't it be bad you got a concussion of your own guy after you just scored a touchdown?
Yeah.
So they made a rule up because he done that. And now these dummies keep their helmets on, but they don't snap them. Looks cool, don't it? No. It looks like if I was on another team, I'd try to put that face mask in your chin a couple times. And you know what you'd do then? You'd be saying, hold on, before the play gets started here, you know. People don't think. The demonstration of mercy is when you obtain something in order to use it, that it would be established. They give guys a helmet for a reason. You obtain one of those so you can put it into common use, that you can establish the fact of that's something that's always used in what you're doing. When you got saved, you obtained mercy. You think, you, people say, well, I didn't obtain the gifts that such and such got, but you obtained mercy. And you get mercy, and God begins to work mercy through you before long. It's a common thing that's used every day, and it's an established principle in your life. And I notice here that mercy received is always in salvation. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 1:3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So mercy, obtaining mercy, is something to where you've begotten again, being born again. And when I look at that, mercy received is salvation, because when God saved you, he saved you on the basis of mercy and through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The biggest problem people have never really figured out about Jesus Christ is he's not just an historical figure that's on a couple of paintings that hangs up in your house. He's more than just somebody that the Bible refers to in the New Testament in the first four books. And listen, he's somebody more than that. What is he? He himself is the demonstration of mercy.
Amen.
He's the one that is the demonstrator of mercy and the demonstration of mercy, because the day he got up from the dead, according to Romans chapter 3, that's what you got saved on that basis right there.
Amen.
There's a lot of people, from what I understand, that was crucified before Jesus, for years before that, by the Grecians and the Romans. In different parts of the world over there, but in particular in Jerusalem, that place was called the place of the skull, because there were so many dead bodies and skulls and bones and decaying bodies around there in that place. That was referred to as the place of the skull. A lot of them went before him. Did they suffer? Did they die? Did they get up from the dead? Absolutely not. But the one that did get up from the dead was the demonstrator of mercy. He got up from the dead that you don't have to die.
Right.
Somebody said one time, you think you're going to cheat death? I'm hoping to. holding out to see if I can find out. It's how you plan on cheating it, the rapture of the church. If God lets me live long enough, we'll say bye-bye to the funeral home on the way out and never have to cross its doors.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
So what is that? That's the blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I do have to go by the way of the first one, that'll be okay because I'll never see the second one, the second death.
Right.
Why? Because you begotten of God? Oh, no, friend, I've not been begotten of God. There's only one that's been begotten of God. It says about Him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you get to fooling around 1 John chapter 3 and say that Him that's begotten of God know no sin, and you try to make yourself sinless, you're trying to do something that you can't do. That's not talking about you, it's talking about Him.
That's right.
But when you get to looking at the fact He said to Peter over there about us being begotten again, that's born again. I may not have been born of God the first time, but son, I got born of God, born again of God the second time, and I got the thing because of mercy and received mercy for what it did, because Peter also relates to him in chapter 2, verse 10. He said, where in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Right.
Boy, I like that. You look on all your possessions in this world and all your good works and know this. Either the fire of this world or the fire of God's judgment will try them and burn them up.
Right.
There'll be one thing will shine through, and that's that mercy that you received the day you got saved. You obtained that thing. So what am I supposed to do with it? Put it in common use. Establish the principle. Let the Lord Jesus Christ show mercy through you. I've heard these yokels around here that starts these contemporary churches that say, we're going after the unchurched. We ain't got none here. We ain't got none here. We really don't. You want the unchurched? Go to a foreign country where they've never even heard of Jesus. Tell them about it. Oh, I know your wife won't let you go because there's no Walmart there. I know. I know your wife won't let you go there because your son's about to turn 15 going into high school and he don't want to leave and y'all spoiled him and he's going to pitch a fit. I know you can't. I know. I know how it is. Or even worse, your wife's pregnant and your mother-in-law said, you ain't taking my baby out of this country. Ooh. Am I telling it right tonight? Listen to me. The demonstration of mercy about obtaining mercy is, listen, because of what God did for me, He saved me and He saved my wife. If God tells us to go anywhere, I don't care where it is. Now, here's the problem. I may try to go somewhere God didn't tell me to go, but that's on me, not Him. But I do see this thing here, and I see that people come along, and they hadn't figured out yet. They'll say, well, we're trying to reach those people that you churches don't want. Have you met our crowd? We had somebody get saved that was a very nice person, didn't fool around with a bunch of sin and all this. They realized they was going to the same devil's hell we was, and got saved. They come in here, and some of y'all got to testify on what God brought you out of, and that person came to me and said, you know, sometimes I just don't know. I said, don't know about what? And they said, well, when they get testified, they're talking about what God brought them out of. I ain't been brought out of that. I said, what'd you get brought out of? They said, not them drug sins and drunk sins and all that stuff. I got brought out of eating there. I said, well, it was just as bad as mine.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? That's right. I said, get up and tell about that. I may not have been a drunk, bless God, but I was a liar, you know. When's the last time I heard somebody get a testimony to me and tell that? But I look at that thing, and listen, they try to say, well, we're trying to reach in people that you want your church. Boy, if I told you, listen, half where this crowd come from, you'd run away screaming. My goodness, people's got it rough, don't they? Can you imagine if they knew where we was really from? What would we do? We just obtain mercies all, just like you did.
Right.
Are we going after the unchurched? How's that working out for you? Well, you know, you've been taking inspiration from every church in town. Tell me about it. Tell me how you delivered them. And now they're not with a legalist bunch. That's the other approach. And then tell me how hard you have to preach to them because they won't show up at your outfit either.
Oh.
Yeah, I read Facebook and see what they're saying. Need to pray for these people that ain't coming to church. Call them, so what people talking about? Half of them used to go to church here. Stay unchurched. Yeah, really. You can prove to everybody around here that knows something about it. They refer to God as the man upstairs. That's their basic knowledge of God. They know about it. You want to talk to the unchurched? Go down there and find them where they've never seen white people down there in South America, and they look at you with a bone sticking through their nose, and the last guy that told them's head on a pole saying, huh? Tell me how you get any big services and the power of God fell and the preacher didn't even preach. That won't work down there, by the way. You got to have something more than emotions that will make your hair stand up on your arm. You got to have God on your side.
Right.
But I look at all this and I see this. Whether you're going to do it down there or you're going to do it up here or you're going to do it in the great white north, you better do it after you've obtained mercy and learn about how to practice that mercy towards others. Do you know that somewhere along the way, somebody's going to come along and do something that you don't like? It's going to upset your apple cart wherever you live at. Perhaps some of you don't like to cut your grass. Wouldn't it be bad if a guy lived next door to you cut part into your grass and then come over and said something like, if you don't start cutting your grass, I'm going to charge you $5 a swatch every time I go by. Your flesh says, I shall beateth the brakes off the sinner. Right? That's how you feel. But you don't. Why don't you? Because you obtain mercy. He's being foolish, and you're going to show him mercy. Why? Because a very holy God showed you mercy.
Amen.
Is that what he did?
Yeah.
Look at this. Mercy received the salvation. But here's the thing, mercy renewed is transformation in your life. Look at Romans chapter 12. This is your daily verse right here. Paul pleaded with these people about this. After giving three chapters about what God's doing with the Jew and had done with the Jew and what he's going to do with him, he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the You didn't even know that word was in there till tonight, did you? By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. What are they doing? Oh, well, it's cold outside tonight, so they called off church. The wind was blowing this way instead of this way, so they had service an hour early and 30 minutes shorter, so you know. Ain't there a holiday coming up sometime? Can we call off church that night too? Ooh, I know. I know one that's coming up. Super Bowl Sunday. That's a holiday. We already got the screen. We can pull that down and show the ball game. And let's see, Brother Kirsch, he is an athlete at one time. He can give his testimony at halftime. And we watch beer commercials during the old half of both sides of it. Boy, ain't that something to show in church. And then some of you being there hungry, and they'll tempt you with the devil, and you'll hear it go, Red Robin, yum. And you'll be thinking about no testimonies, I'll be thinking about hamburgers.
Right.
Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy by the mercies of God, and be not conformed to this world, but, God interrupts them here, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are we going to do that again? Well, he did say something up there about presenting something, right? If God gets your body, he gets your mind. See, present your bodies, then down here, by the renewing of your mind. If your feet are not like that preacher talked about tonight, are not quick to run into mischief, guess what you'll have on your side? Mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. And you'll have that mercy, and instead of running over here to mischief, you'll stay where you are and say, I've obtained mercy, I ain't going to go get in all that again. I'm amazed at a bunch of church devils in this town. If a church goes out of pastor, they're showing up and joining the outfit. Oh, we had 10 joins since the preacher left. Can I tell you what you got? You got the wolf pack, honey. I mean, they piled up amongst you and you don't even know it. But you will. You'll feel the same thing them last 10 churches they left when they left is. You'll say, man, that really was a church devil. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We do a lot of preaching on them things right there to show the will of God. But if you'll back up to verse 1, it's the mercies of God that gets you the will of God. See, mercy received is salvation, but mercy renewed is transformation. The more you get into this thing and say, Lord, I want you to have me and do with me what you will. Lord, I submit my members to you, these wicked hands that's handled mischief, these feet that's been swifter. If you present that to God and say, Lord, I don't want to use that for the devil, I want to use it for you, you'll start to find out something. God will start transforming you. You'll get to the point where God will start doing some things in your life and renewing some things in your life, where He will start literally renewing you, and you'll be hearing all these guys talking about pray for revival, and you'll already have it. You won't even realize that's what it's called, but you already got it.
Well,
you ever heard somebody say revival starts in a prayer closet? You'll already have been there.
Right.
You already have it.
Yep.
I've heard preachers get up and make the dumbest statements I've ever heard in my life. You know what they said? I just didn't have liberty to preach in that church. Son, I'd have liberty at a funeral home. You know why? Because I'm bringing him with me. Liberty is of the Holy Ghost. You can't lose him. I wonder if they listen to the holiness preachers where they think they've lost it for a day and run into place and didn't have liberty, you understand? Or if that's just some glorified preacher talk, it's not scriptural. We need to get back to the Bible and renew our minds and get back to the mercies of God and quit worrying about what other preachers think and if we can talk like them. I don't like that stuff. I don't like a bunch of preachers that hang around together like a mafia. Well, you know what I'm talking about. You make one of them mad, they'll all go against you. True story.
Yeah.
If you do anything to cross them, they'll tell them others. All of a sudden, they'll just be nice to you in public. Won't even want them calling you leading silent prayer no more. The ministry mafia.
Yeah.
We need to get a message together on that thing right there, don't we? That'd be good. The ministry mafia. Don't use my title, and I won't use yours, you told me. He got such a good title, he told him, it's killing me not to use it. I want to say it, and I can't. Because if I say it, he'll use it. Next thing I know, he said, man, the Lord gave me a great message, and he'll use that title. But look at this. Ministry renewed is transformation. When God gives you that mercy, and you receive by the mercies of God, where Paul's begging that thing, you realize, hey, that's what God did for me. Living sacrifice is no problem.
Yeah.
So what kind of living sacrifice? A living sacrifice. So I need to put me an animal on the altar? No, put you on the altar.
Come on.
So what's wrong with people? The sacrifice crawls off the altar all the time. Get on the altar.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people would say, pray for me, that don't ever pray? Y'all pray for me. My favorite, and this just, I hope this don't make people mad, but it's just something I laugh at when I hear it because I can't picture it. Y'all pray hard for me. Well, I wasn't going to plan on praying easy, but since you put it like that, I'm really going to sock it to you in the prayer closet, you know. But I'm telling you, mercy renewed is always transformation on God's end. He does that to a person. You know why? You're relying on Him to do the transformation. There's things, and my wife said something to me this morning, it blew me away when she said it. And I ain't going to tell you what it is, it's between me and her, but when she said that thing, I thought, if I'd have paid her, I couldn't have got such a compliment. But I'm broke, so don't ask for no money, honey. But I'm telling you, God does things like that in your life. I didn't even realize that part of me had changed like that. That's when it dawned on me. That's that mercy of God. You get it, you get it. You get it, you give it. People are so worried about, well, if I give this money, will I get some money? How about you worry about mercy instead of money?
Well,
blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Merciful, I'm somebody full of mercy, and I'm going to suggest to you tonight that mercy is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's mercy in flesh right there.
Yeah.
When He laid on that cross and died for your sins, that was mercy laying down where justice should have laid down at. Let's stand with every head bowed, every